This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Pastor James has been in a series, amen, the past 2 weeks. He's been talking about the ABCs of faith, right? He's in that faith series, and our faith is growing. And he started out with Romans 1 and 17 as really the launching pad for this series. Romans 1, 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live," how? "By faith." Amen. And so, as he stated, this series is designed to give us an understanding of how faith works. When we understand how something works, we can then apply what we have learned and get results. Amen. And he gave the definition of faith, which we're just going to give again. Amen. Since we're continuing in that faith flow this morning. Faith is a spiritual law that allows us to tap into the supernatural power of God so we can access the promises of God and bring them into manifestation in our lives. Praise God. And I hear Pastor James' voice throughout the day a lot of times. I don't know if you do. If you're used to listening to him for a while, you hear his voice. Amen. I always hear him saying, faith doesn't make things easy, but it makes it possible. Amen. And if you happen to miss the last two lessons, I certainly encourage you to go back and listen to them. And if you are here for the very first time, I certainly encourage you as well to build your faith by staying and feeding yourself faith. Amen. And he went over the ABCs of faith in one of his lessons. A, B, C, D, and E. The ask, the believe, confess, demonstrate, and expect. So he was giving us an understanding that there really is a process to faith, or an understanding of what to do when we are actively believing God for something. And then he also shared the five justifiable expectations when I'm standing in faith. Number one was the plan of action. Number two was the wisdom of God. Number three was the favor of God. Number four was miracles. And number five, strength to endure until change comes. The purpose of today's lesson is to give you some things to remind you of when you are walking by faith. As we are all working this faith process that we've been taught, I want to share with you some things that you need to be reminded of as you're asking, as you're believing, as you're confessing, as you're demonstrating, and as you're expecting. It's good to keep certain things in mind because this is a proven process. This doesn't just work one time. It works all the time, every time. Amen. The first point that I want to give you this morning is that God has given you strength and he is with you. No matter what you're facing this morning, you need to receive that and believe that God has given you strength and he is with you. Joshua 1 and 9, NIV we're putting up. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Who's talking here? Is God. God is speaking to Joshua. And it was never a question in God's mind of if Joshua was strong enough or if Joshua was courageous enough. No, God knew who Joshua was. It was time for Joshua to use his faith and fulfill the purpose of God for his life. And why do you not need to be afraid? Why do you not need to be discouraged in your own life? I'm glad you asked, because what God does for one, he will do for another. Amen. You got to look at that and say, that's God talking to me this morning. Hallelujah. Pat, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Yes, sir. I'm going to be strong and courageous. I'm not going to be afraid. Amen. And Jesus said something similar in the latter part of Matthew 28:20 in the Amplified. "I'm with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion." I love that, on every occasion. I feel like I hang my hat on that. Everything's good in the neighborhood, amen, even to the end of the age. So if something catches me by surprise, that's okay, but it didn't catch God by surprise. When you look at the name Jehovah Jireh, the literal translation of that is the Lord thy God who looks ahead and provides. So what caught you by surprise hasn't caught him by surprise. In fact, he's already been there. And the fact that he's already been there means that there's already provision for me to get through to the other side of the thing that caught me off guard. Amen. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? You can never catch God by surprise. He is always in the know. He is always in the right now. And I want to encourage you this morning that God is with you. And he has not forgotten about you and your current situation. Praise God. And that's why I can say and confess the scripture with confidence. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm not looking to me. I'm looking to him. Amen. I can confess the word to say I can do all things, not in my own power, but in his power through Christ who gives me the strength to do them. Praise God. Y'all with me this morning. All right. Y'all making up for that whole marriage thing. We would praise God. All right. All right. This is who knew this would be easier? The book of Joshua has an incredible beginning. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, 1 to 3. We're just going back up to where it started. We're going to read the King James. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place," there you go, you can hang your hat on that too, "every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses." So here we go again. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord thy God who looks ahead and provides. God was telling Joshua, everywhere your foot treads, I've already given it to you. In other words, God goes before you and he prepares the way for you to walk out his plan for your life. Make no mistake about it this morning, family. Something the Holy Spirit shared with me while I was preparing for this is that God is leading you to what he has prepared you for. God is leading you to what he has prepared you for. You don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to be fearful. You just got to keep walking with him. Amen. Putting into practice the word that we have heard. Praise God. Right now, you have everything you need to become everything he desires. Oftentimes, we put ourselves in a different place than where God is. No, you've got everything you need right now to become everything he desires. He's the potter and we're the clay. And God is determined to get glory out of your life. God is determined to get glory out of my life, which is why through the various situation and circumstances of life, what happens is I begin to change. So the 47-year-old Pat is a lot different than the 27-year-old Pat. And my wife says amen because I got married at 26. Amen. 21 years in September. Praise God. I thank God for my beautiful, lovely wife. I'm telling you, I would not be where I am without her. Amen. Psalm 29 and 11 in the message, it said, God makes his people strong. God gives his people peace. That's for somebody this morning. You need to write that out. Put it in your phone. Put it on your steering wheel. Whatever you got to do, you're being challenged. God's making me strong. God's giving me peace. I got peace to walk through difficult circumstances. My peace is not dependent on circumstances. My peace is dependent on who God is. Hallelujah. Woo. All right. Take a little breath. Pastor James does this twice on every Sunday. All right. I want to share with you this sentence that the Lord gave me. You may have to adjust your plans, but don't give up on your dreams. You may have to adjust your plans, but don't give up on your dreams. And I was getting ready for this. I'm so proud of our daughter, Ta. She's just a beautiful, sweet young lady. I love her so much. Amen. And after this service, if you saw a van with a bunch of stuff on top that we strapped down, we're headed to Tulsa, Oklahoma to get her set up to attend Bible college. Amen. I'm proud of this girl. And when the Lord gave me that, I was really thinking about her because 2 years ago, we went to an open house. And Ty and her twin Sia, who's currently in the Navy, Oceanside, California, we took them, and Ty really liked what she saw. But somebody told her there, you know, you need to consider getting your associate degree first and then coming to Bible college. So I don't remember hearing that. I don't think I was even there at that point. I was probably getting a snack. All right. So some of the sessions were a little lengthy, and I'm trying to be spiritual. I'm with you, but you know, I need a snack. So, but this lady said this, right? So Ta comes to, very matter of fact, she comes to Deb and I and says, you know what? I want to get my associate's degree first. All right. What did she do? She adjusted her plan, but didn't give up on her dream. Because sometimes when you're going through the process, You gain access to more information that if you include that information, you end up in a better place. So that's why there's got to be some flexibility in our hearts. There's got to be the ability of the Holy Spirit to adjust, to make, to mold. Your dream might be right, but some of the steps might need to be adjusted. Praise God. So you may have to regroup, but don't abandon the desires of your heart. Amen. That's point number one. First reminder when walking by faith is God has given you strength and he is with you. The second reminder when walking by faith is that Scripture is a powerful weapon. Scripture is a powerful weapon. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We're reading NIV. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Awesome. So the King James Version reads like this at the beginning. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The NIV reads, all Scripture is God-breathed. Well, that word inspiration, it literally translates God-breathed. You know, so when Michael Jordan does the thing of under the basket, around dunk, I may be excited, but I'm really not inspired. I'm just excited by something I saw. But inspired means that God breathed. Amen. And you and I, human, we are inspired. We are created in his image and after his likeness. Genesis says God breathed into man the breath of life. Amen. God breathed into man himself. Praise God. And sometimes when we hear the word, we might feel a little bit convicted. That's what that scripture is saying. Am I the only one who's ever felt convicted? All right. Conviction is a good thing because faith and growth is all progressive. I should allow myself to submit to the lordship of Christ and his word. And when I do, I become changed and more like him. And that's the goal, not to be more and more like myself through the years, but to be more and more like him. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Psalm 119, 105. We're going to David. Our joke is if you get on the prayer line, you know I'm going to Psalms. Deb's like, why don't you go somewhere else? I'm like, I like Psalms. I mean, you know, I don't know. I like Psalms. David's my guy. He's always, you know, David's always talking to God. He don't care. Whatever's happening, he's like, Lord, it's me again. And he's repenting. He's messing up. He's doing all kind of things. But I love how after, if you read the Psalms, I love how after he bears his heart, does what he does, he always ends with a God focus. And see, that's what we need to do. You may need to come before God. You may need to go to your brother or sister and even say, hey, be praying about this. But don't end with what you're praying about. End with a God focus because that's where the victory lies. Amen. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. David had such an understanding of God's word that he describes the word of God as a lamp and as a light. So powerful. Why would I need a lamp? Why would I need a light? So I can see where God is leading me. The word causes you to see clearly. And that's why we got to spend time in the word. Amen. The path for my life is made clear as I spend time in God's word. That's the key. We need to get this. The path for, it's not going to be made clear just by flipping through YouTube shorts. You know, it's not going to be made clear. It's going to be made clear by us setting aside some time in God's word so we can be changed. And then he's the one who leads, guides, and directs. Praise God. Ephesians 6, talking about the word, you see the whole armor of God listed. We're not going to read that whole passage for the passage of time. But when we're talking about the whole armor of God, and you read through each one of those, every weapon except for one is defensive. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, defensive. There's one offensive weapon known as the sword of the spirit, and that's God's word, which means you got to take it and you got to put it to work. A sword don't work if you don't use it. And see, that's why I like David. He had a sword. He knew what to do with the sword. He said, Goliath, I'm going to separate your head from your big old body. He knew what to do with the sword. And we need to know what to do with the sword. With the sword of the spirit is how we engage in spiritual warfare. After you've cried and shed your tears, listen, there's a time to put away tissues and pick up a sword. It's time to get to work. Hallelujah. It's time to press toward them. It's time to fight back. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. Sometime we got to learn how to push past how we're feeling and what's going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Scripture is so awesome and amazing. I, you know, as a little boy, I shared on Father's Day. As a little boy, my dad gave me a Bible. And he didn't really understand the word the way that we do. You know, you're really supposed to study it and all that and apply it and live by it and all that kind of stuff. He was a great man. He just didn't come up that way. But he knew there was something about the word. So he bought me a Bible and he bought me this expository book. It was more like cartoons for that age. But anyway, it was about Psalms and Proverbs. And I still have those books today. And it was like he gave me that Bible in 1987. And when he gave it to me, I was so fascinated with it. I read through it like 5 times. We didn't have Xbox in or nothing like that. So it's like, you got to do something with your time, right? No, but it was like the Holy Spirit used that. And I didn't know what God was doing. But as a 9, 10, 11-year-old boy, I'm reading God's word, and I'm excited about it. Amen? But we need to know how to use Scripture. Number one, I use it to build my faith. And number two, I use it to silence the voice of the enemy. I use it to build my faith, and then I use it to put the devil in his place. Sometimes you go through a lot of attacks just to get the message that you're closer to your breakthrough than you think. Sometimes you go through things and you're like, okay, no problem. All right, this is the devil. He must be concerned if the attacks are that strong, because sometimes he's got a better understanding of the word than we do. But we got to wait a minute. Greater is he who is in me. In me, when I surrender to Christ, Jesus is in me. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing up. If they're talking about you, let them talk. What are you concerned about? He don't change who you are. Let them gossip. Let them run you down. I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to keep a smile on my face and head to my next wealthy place. Amen. Amen. Keep on smiling. Don't give up because somebody's running you down. It's all good. Just keep pressing. Keep moving. What somebody says doesn't control your destiny. They're not Alpha and Omega. Why are we giving them so much credit? I got somebody with better street cred than them, and that's who I'm going with. I am who I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm not giving up this morning. I'm telling you, if you're in this building, you are somebody. You've been purchased with the blood of the Son, Jesus. The Father sent the Son. The Son paid the price. And your name is in the Word of God, which is the will of God. Sit down, because you're getting me going, y'all. Woo! Hallelujah. All right, Scripture's a powerful weapon. That's point two. Let's go to point three. You got it. Good. Point three, you have an inheritance to claim. You and I this morning, we got an inheritance. And that's why you can't let what people say disturb you. Because as a child of God, you have an inheritance. Let's go to John 1:12 in the NIV. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. Childlike faith. I read the word and I believe it. And I was thinking about, when I was reading this verse, I was thinking about our youngest daughter, Elizabeth. That girl has a tenacity like nobody else. When she makes up her mind, you might as well just stop and give her what she's after, because she ain't going to leave you alone until you address her concerns. So she's 16 now. She's sweet, looking at me in the back. All right, when she was 8 years old, she grew so fast within a summer, we actually had to buy 2 bikes. We bought 1 bike, like, early, like springtime, early summer. A few months later, you know, her knees are all coming up and everything. And she's like, I need another bike. So I'm like, okay, no problem, Lizzie. We'll get you the bike. Well, it was an exceptionally busy summer. I don't remember what was going on, but there was a lot going on. And so she would always remind us of that bike, you know, and it didn't take too long, probably a few weeks before we finally got it. But to her, it was like an eternity. So you said it. Where is it? I mean, come on. Good morning, Dad. Bike. You know, that was her approach. You know what? But when we got her the bike, she said, I knew you would do it because you promised me. Okay? I know God's going to do it because he's faithful to his word. He promised you. Just like Lizzie trusts us when we say something based on who we are, we need to trust God when he lays out a promise for us in his word. We got to decide who we trust in. 3 John 2, this is your inheritance verse. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That's your inheritance right there. That's what you need to focus in on. That's what you need to dwell on. God's promises over my life. Amen? All right, for the sake of time, let's go to number four. Well, first we're going to review. First reminder, we're walking by faith. God has given you strength and he is with you. Second reminder, Scripture is a powerful weapon. Third reminder, you have an inheritance to claim. Here's the fourth reminder, and then we're going to go home. All of God's promises are true. All of God's promises are true. Let's go to Joshua 21, 43 through 45. It says, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of the enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. I love this. Not one of all the Lord's good promises failed. Every one was what? Fulfilled. Did any of his promises fail? Not one. That's why Pastor James says when we're in a battle, position is everything. You're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. Use the example of someone who owns a car. Maybe you own a car. Let's say you do. All right. Let's say it gets stolen. Are you upset? Yeah, because you're the owner, right? The owner is not trying to become the owner. That's not why he wants it back. He wants it back, says, wait a minute, that car was mine. I got the bling bling on it. I got the lights how I want it looking. I got everything. That's mine. It's got my stamp of approval on it, right? So the person who gets their car stolen from them understands, wait a minute, this is mine. So in life, the Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what the enemy wants to do, he wants to rob you of your inheritance. That's what he wants to do. But wait a minute, you're a car owner. You're an inheritance owner. You got promises in God's word. So you got to focus on the fact that, wait a minute, all God's promises are true. And that's why we need to spend time with the word, because the word will become life. We need to rehearse that word on the inside of us. Speak it out of our mouths. Spend time with the word, because there's so many different opinions and voices coming at us on a daily basis that we may not even realize it. We go to work. A lot of people we work with are negative, talking doubt and unbelief. You hear about inflation. Things are never going to get better. All this stuff costs too much money. No, you need to focus on Jehovah Jireh, the Lord thy God who looks ahead and provides. He's not concerned about inflation. He watches over his word to perform it. Excuse me. We're going to close with Abraham. Father Abraham had many friends. Y'all know that if you went to Sunday school, right? Romans 4, 20, 21. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. This is one of my favorite verses right here. So say this after me. Say, I am fully persuaded that what God promised, he's able to perform. I'm fully persuaded that what God promised, he's able to perform. One more time. I'm fully persuaded that what God promised, he's able to perform. I lied. Let's do it again. I'm fully persuaded that what God promised, he's able to perform. That's what you need to do in your personal time. You may not be used to that. We all did it together. But when I first heard this, I would go to the bathroom and do it. Because I was a pretty quiet, reserved guy. That's how I was speaking in tongues. In the back, you know. Because I didn't want nobody to hear me. I was like, what is this? I'm new to all this faith stuff. But it works. But when we did that, did you see what happened? It started rising. Why? Because we're giving attention to the word. And see, there's life in the word. But you got to give attention to the life that is in the word. Amen. All right. Since I'm an heir, I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from victory. You and I are heirs. And that's what we got to get. I'm an heir. So I'm not accepting anything less than what God promised. I'm fully persuaded that what God promised, he is able to perform. Do you receive that this morning? Amen. Would you give God a hand of praise? Amen. That's his word over you and over me. Fully persuaded. Hallelujah. We are a people that is fully persuaded. At this time, we're going to move into our appeals just to please have as few people moving as possible. This is a special time because it's an opportunity for those of us who have heard the word to respond. If you're here today, or maybe you're online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we're just going to give you that opportunity this morning. Romans 10 and 9 teaches us that if we will confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. If you're in the room or you're online, maybe you need to rededicate your life to him. Maybe you made a dedication at some point and strayed some. You got to realize this morning, God's not mad at you. He's not upset. He hasn't walked away. He loves you very much. Repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. The wonderful thing about God is repentance puts you right back in line. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and maybe you're looking for a good church home, you say, you know, I need to be around people of like precious faith. I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning. The church you go to and the word that you hear, it makes all the difference in the world. So if you're going to make a decision to be saved, to rededicate your life, or to join this church, there are connection cards located in the seat pocket in front of you. There are connection cards online as well. And Lord, I just thank you for your presence in this place. If you are making a decision today, all I ask you to do is use the back of the connection card. Fill it out in its entirety, and then just get it either to the First Time Friends table online or just submit it and email it to us, and you will hear from us. Oh, God, we thank you. We're about to pray this prayer together, all in unison, and all you need to do is repeat this prayer after me. You say, I've already made this prayer. That's okay. Pray it along with us because it might help the person sitting next to you. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we give you the praise now for what you've done this morning in all of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand of praise?